Cascade Hoops Talk, bringing the world NAI basketball one podcast at a time. Cascade Hoops Talk, this is Billy B. Hey, how's everybody doing this morning? We have Danny Neville. Caught up with him last Friday on the 23rd. Talked to Coach Neville about, you know, his time at Jamestown, the two runs to Kansas City, and then, you know, what he has coming in this season. It's a great conversation. I think you're going to enjoy it. You know, Jamestown is another one of those programs that really performs in the classroom. They had a team GPA, I think, of 3.50. Third best in the entire country for men's basketball in the NAI. Tip my hat to Coach Neville as well as to the entire Jamestown program. Danny Neville has been at Jamestown. This is his eighth year, and in the past 7 years, he's won 150 games, over 20 games a season. He's done a very good job there at Jamestown, getting deep into the playoffs the last 2 years, two trips to Kansas City. He loses a couple of key pieces with Brady Birch and Devin Schultz, but he's went out and picked up some transfers, and he's going to talk about that. Why don't we just give a listen to Danny Neville, and he's going to tell us about Jamestown basketball. Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D. Hey, I got Danny Neville, head coach at Jamestown, the Jamestown Jimmies. Hey, Danny, thanks a lot for being on.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It's always good to talk with you, man.
You know what? Kid from Bondurant, Idaho, probably said the name wrong. Bondurant, Idaho, you go to Grandview, you win, you finally get a head coaching job there at Jamestown. You had to go through the graduate assistant stuff. Did you ever dream that after seven seasons, you'd have 150 wins? That's pretty good, Danny.
I mean, I didn't really know. Like, I think a lot of people don't know this, but my three first years of coaching, I wasn't a grad assistant. I was just an assistant.
Okay.
Part-time. So I took my grad school actually online, and, you know, I was an assistant at Presentation College for 2 years. And then I was a part-time guy at Jamestown actually for a year. So I made, in those 3 years, I made a total of $13,500. So,
rolling in the dough.
To say that, I'd be thinking, you know, I think about that a lot, like just looking back and seeing where, you know, our program's gone. And, you know, I'm lucky to have been a part of that. And I mean, to answer your question, when I first started, this is crazy to be where I'm at right now. And I think it goes back to, you know, all the role models I've had, the good players that we've had, that, you know, we have a lot of good things going on at our school too. So there's a lot of things that, you know, help us to kind of be where we want to be.
You know, I kind of sticking with that, you know, last season you were 25-10, 12-8 in conference, but you really finished strong in the postseason, which is kind of becoming your trademark a little bit. You get there to Kansas City, you fell to a really tough Talladega club. You know, just talk about that experience last year, especially those two huge wins in Montana.
Yeah, I think it's always tough when, you know, the year prior was the first year that there was one division, the first year that, you know, going down to Kansas City. And, you know, that first year we made a pretty deep run, and, you know, we obviously lost some key pieces to that team. And you never know, even when you return a lot of guys, you never know how your team is going to be culturally and, you know, how they adapt to things. And, you know, I felt like there was a lot of pressure last year, pressure to get back to Kansas City, pressure to do this, do that. And, you know, we kind of felt that pressure, especially mid-season. We just kind of went through a lull, like, you know, and we just kind of sat down after losing a couple. I think we lost two in a row to Briarcliff and Concordia, and we just sat down. It's like, guys, we just need to play. We need to have fun. And, you know, I think we really caught fire there at the end, just like we did in 2021. And guys felt super confident. And, you know, it's awesome to be down in Kansas City again. And again, just like anything, the more times that you go down there, the more so that, you know, your program is mentioned, is known. And I think that's really cool for our program and our guys. But we just need to figure out a way to, how can we play, you know, up to our potential throughout a whole year. And yeah. I know, you know, basketball seasons are long and tough, but I just think we need to figure out that piece where we can, you know, we're not just a team that's known for, man, they go on runs at the end of the year. You know, let's just be more consistent with our play and maybe try and play like that all year round.
You know, before we leave Kansas City, I got to give a shout out to your fans. Where I was sitting, they were up behind me. I got to meet a lot of them. But I tell you, man, Danny, you had to be proud of all those fans that came and the support they gave you.
For sure. I mean, Kansas City was cool, but, you know, Montana was pretty cool as well because we played at Carroll and, you know, that region championship was Carroll. So they had right. a home crowd. They're playing at their own place and just so nice to have such a great fan base. And, you know, obviously it's family members, but, you know, you look in the crowd, you might rewatch film or something and you're like, wow, there was a lot of people there that weren't parents, weren't family members, were just, you know, great loyal fans. So,
yeah,
you know, it was awesome. You know, it's cool when you get those big orange flags that they're waving around too. It's just, our guys love it. And I think it's, you know, it's a telling about, you know, how important, you know, some people are to us and how important our program is to other people. And, you know, it's just, it's cool to have a support system like that.
No, absolutely. So, you know, before we talk about this year, a couple guys have graduated, move on. I want to bring them up. One guy, Brady Birch. I mean, he, in my mind, he meant everything to your program. I mean, just talk about what.
It's kind of a double-edged sword because he was with us for 5 years. And he was just the guy that, you know, he didn't care about points. He didn't care about anything. He cared about winning. I remember his sophomore year, we didn't know if we were going to start him or another guy that, you know, I think he was in the same grade as him, mm-hmm. Brock Schramm. I'm sure you remember him.
Yeah.
So their sophomore year, I pulled them both in and I said, you know, I don't know who's going to really start. And I'm just having a hard time with it. Brock, you give us some shot blockings. You know, he's more skilled, better polished, but Brady is just that guy that's going to dive on the floor, going to take charges, you know, going to do all the stuff that nobody else wants to do. And we met, and probably about 2 hours later, he comes to my office and says, Coach, I'm going to make this easier for you. I want to come off the bench. And so there was, you know,
yep.
He knew the decision was difficult for me, and he knew that, you know, I was going back and forth on it. So to make my life easier, and just, he didn't really care. He just said, Coach, bring me off the bench. And that was kind of that was Brady Birch to us.
I think
the only good thing about Brady leaving is now maybe sometimes people will think that I'm the oldest guy on our team and I'm the coach and not Brady Birch.
Oh, that's so, okay. That's good. I like that. You know, let's mention Devin Schultz. You and I've talked about this before, but his growth as a player from the time he got to Jamestown until he graduated was just phenomenal. He should be so proud of himself. You know, just talk about the job he did turning into a great basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, he just so he was actually a redshirt guy. So last year he was a redshirt freshman. It was his fifth year. And that had a lot to do with him coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, those redshirts guys that got that COVID year, I think it's hard to play 6 years, or not to play 6 years, but just to be a part of a program for 6 years. And, you know, we had a lot of talks, and we felt it was best for him to, you know, kind of go on in his life. But when he was a redshirt, so his freshman year, he redshirted. Preseason, we had some open gyms, and our strength coach watched one of our open gyms, and he pulled me aside and he said, who is that guy? And I said, that's Devin Schultz. He's a new incoming freshman from Minnesota. And he said, we got to pull him off the court. And I looked at him like, why? And he's like, you know, the way he's running, he's got too much, you know, he's too much weight on him. And, you know, it looks like he might, you know, he might get injured.
Right.
You know, his Mike Terry's ACL. He needs to get a little thinner. He needs to get, so Devin Schultz as a redshirt, while we were playing in open gyms, he was riding a bicycle on the side. So he went from not being able to play in an open gym to fast forward to his last year, he's an all conference guy, and he was really good for us. So
oh, yeah.
It's just, I told him that when his senior, we had a little senior banquet, and I said, it's a motivating story for me. Like, even as a coach, like, it's crazy how much you learn from your players. Like, it's a motivating story for me. I feel like, him going through our program, I feel like, for me personally, like, you have some, you have something you want to do. I always think back to Devin Schultz, and it's like, man, if he could do it, I can do it. So yeah. it's a really cool and motivating story. And again, like, it was funny that you mentioned him. About 3 days ago, I called him and I told him, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you always being a great teammate. And he could have easily, because he was a redshirt as a freshman, JV as a redshirt freshman, JV varsity as a sophomore, junior year didn't play that much because we had Brady Birch and Brock Schramm. So he out of 5 years, he played in one. But all the rest of all those other 4 years, he was an awesome teammate. It's just, you look at both of those guys, Brady Birch and Devin Schultz, not only are they good big guys, which hard to come by at the NAI, but they were just great kids and great. So I think that's what we'll miss the most.
Yeah, and I want to talk about a couple of the transfers here in a minute, but you've had few guys have decided to move on, but you've still got four of your top seven rotation. You've got a great core coming back, Danny. I mean, it starts with Mason Walters in the middle, 24 points, 12 rebounds last season. I mean, what can you say about Mason that we haven't already said?
I mean, after, like, obviously, like, his sophomore year is a first-team All-American, junior first-team All-American, he's from Jamestown, so, he's, kind of like not the town celebrity, but everyone knows him, and, everybody appreciates him and him staying here and playing at Jamestown, his hometown. But I think the craziest thing is, like, you look at a guy like him and you're like, yeah, he'll be good next year, but he had an awesome summer and he got better. He is better than last year. He's stronger. We worked a lot this summer on just his ball handling, more so like guard skill stuff, ball handling, shooting, just being able to do a couple more things. But he's stronger. He's more athletic than he was last year. And we're really excited about him. And I think the best thing about him is humility. Like, he gets better, but he remains humble. And I think not only does that help him, but it helps our team and it helps the guys around him too.
Yeah, I've talked to you about this before, but it's always obvious to me how hard he works because when the new season, every year I've seen him, the new season starts, I have to do a double take because he gets so much bigger. I mean, stronger, right? He definitely works hard in the off season. And then you got the whole backcourt coming back. These guys have really performed for you. Will Cordes, 13, almost 14 points a game. Mark Chose, he's going to be a senior this year, 11 points a game. And Cole Woodford, talk about what it means having that experienced backcourt coming back with Mason.
I think the coolest thing with that is not only are they returning, but if you look at our returning guys, Mason's a senior, Mark's a senior, Cordes is a junior, and Woodford's a junior. So they're all, they're returning, and they've, their freshman, sophomore year, we made the Elite Eight run.
Yeah.
Their sophomore, junior year, we made a Sweet 16 run. And now they're all juniors and seniors. So I think just having that core group back and them being older, more mature is huge. But guard-wise, I mean, it's nice just having those same guys. We love Woodford on the left side, using his left hand, can really shoot it. Had a really good summer as well. Cordes will look to him being probably our primary scoring guard.
Right.
So he'll move more so into more of a scorer. And then Chose is, he's honestly a question mark. He hasn't done anything all summer, and he's still not practicing right now. He has some issues with his ankle.
Oh,
we think he'll be ready in about he'll be ready in about 2 weeks. But one positive, you know, that I've really taken out of that is he's sat out that long. So he's more so like, you know, conversating with the coaches and being around the coaches because he can't, you know, he can't play. He can't go out there and do stuff with his teammates. And so I think he's getting, you know, more so of that side.
Right.
Which is very beneficial to him. He's getting to know us in a different light.
You know, I've heard that, you know, I interview a lot of players at the end of the season, as you know, and I've had conversations with guys about that. Like they have, you know, really good ball players and they have to sit out a year for an injury. And they always talk about how much they learn by just watching the game and
sitting out.
Yeah. They always seem to learn a lot from that. That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get to your transfers, but before I do, I got to congratulate you. I wanted to start the interviews with some of the top grade point average programs in the country. And your program, I think you were third in the country, all NAI basketball for grade point average. So, you know, what does it mean to you to, you know, these guys aren't just great athletes, they're students as well, and that they perform in the classroom. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it means a lot, but that, I mean, also that ties into our recruiting. We're getting guys that, you know, coming out of high school, you know, have been good students. And, you know, I think that's all part of it. When you're a coach and you're not having to worry about academics, you're not having to follow kids to class. They're actually, I mean, we had a team GPA 3.5. So, you know, that even the smart kids, they're putting in work. And you know, for some of those kids that maybe, you know, academics doesn't come to them, they're working hard to try and get the best GPA possible. So I think it speaks volumes to them. I don't think it really has to do with me much other than just recruiting the right type of guys. But other than that, we don't talk a lot about academics. We set a standard and, you know, we're confident and we believe in them that they will do it. So I'm not big into, you know, trying to babysit them about academics. But also with saying that, if I don't want to babysit, I should probably get the right kind of guys recruiting wise.
Yeah, because
I'll tell you this right now. I am definitely not tutoring them, because if I was tutoring them, we wouldn't have had a 3.5.
Well, it's good you bring in good kids, because if you end up with a low GPA, you're going to be getting some help from the administration building. I guarantee it. But all joking aside, I want to congratulate your team. I want to congratulate Jamestown University, to all your players, because whenever I talk to a young man, I always remind them you're a student athlete. And so they should be very, very, very proud of that. You know,
it's a cool honor.
It is. You know, you went out. I know transfers are a dice roll, but you got it. You got some guys that really kind of, on paper at least, they look like they can come in and fill those holes you got with Birch and Schultz leaving. I'm not sure how you say his Jimmy. How do you say it? Linus from Xavier.
Linus.
Yeah. You know, he was CCAC. He was freshman of the year over there. He led the second in the country, I think, in the country his freshman year in blocked shots. 6'8". Have you had a chance to see him practice yet?
He actually came out here this summer.
Okay.
So we've gotten to see a lot of them.
Well, he's going to come in as a sophomore. I mean, he could be a key piece for you for the next few years. You also
he's a projected starter as of right now. So
oh, okay.
He's got so many, you know, like running wise, you know, we did conditioning this preseason and you see him run and you're like, holy cow. Like, if that guy can get into shape and run the floor like that, you know, he's going to make us a lot better. And, you know, this summer he did a good job. Like, he always wanted to guard Mason, and he just had an awesome summer. He got stronger, but he has a ton of potential.
That's kind of the way he looked on paper, so I was curious your take on him. The other guy, Danny, that really caught my eye was Marcus Sherwood. He's out. He played down in Roseburg here in Oregon. At Umpqua, man, you poach those kids from Oregon, don't you? Anyway, 11.6 rebounds in his career there at Roseburg playing at Umpqua. He's 6'7", 205. Yep. Talk a little bit about Marcus Sherwood.
I mean, he's just, first thing is he's an awesome kid. he's different than us. He's actually married. So I think this is the first married kid I've had. So he's just a mature kid, really smart, really, you know, just you tell him to run through a brick wall, he'll do it. he's one of those kids, like, it'll probably take him a little bit of time to adjust, just to everything, and, you know, body wise, just pace wise. So, you know, he's a good get for us, a good kid. I just probably next year, I don't know if you'll see him maybe in the box score a lot. We had a kid actually, redshirt last year, Cooper Olson.
Right.
He's a transfer from Mary. He's projected right now as our backup five.
And then there's one other transfer. He's not as tested though. Reed Gassner, he played over at Moorhead. That's NC2A D2, but he didn't play very much over there. Talk a little bit about Reed.
Yeah, he actually played high school ball with Mark Chose. He's a year younger, so they're really good friends. I mean, he's 6'4", 230 pounds. You look at him and you're like, he should probably be playing football, but we'll take him. But he's just he's adapting the stuff, and he's smart, big, strong, could guard. I mean, I think the best thing about him is he's kind of like a Draymond Green defensively, where he's not like, he's only 6'4", but he's big and strong, and he could literally guard the point guard, and he could guard the biggest five man in our league. So I think that's where he'll impact us the most.
Wow. If he can do that, he's going to give you a lot of help.
Oh, for sure. He will. He just adds to the depth. I think that's one big thing, you know, maybe looking back on the last 2 years, like, you know, oh, they went on runs at the end, but you know, they had their lulls during the year. I think this year we have more depth than we've had, you know, maybe ever.
You got a couple of freshmen too that look like they might have a chance of making the roster. Jacob Axemaker, he's another kid from Oregon. He played out at State, and then Garrett Colbeck out of South Dakota. He played at T.
Axemaker told me that he came to Jamestown because you came to one of his games.
Yeah, tell part
but
all
no,
that.
No, he's he's one of those kids. Like, you know, he's 6 foot. 160 pounds, and like you worry about him defensively, and you know, you worry about him adapting to the physicality of the game, but he has been awesome.
Oh, good.
He's been really good. Just one of those kids, like, he's not, you know, you get some of those freshmen that are a little fearful, and you know, they have those look in their eyes, like there's about 10,000 things running through their minds.
Yeah.
Axemaker, if you were to come and watch a practice, you would think he was an upperclassman.
Okay.
He's just got the way presence. He presents himself. Yes, for sure. And he's not scared. And if he's open, he's not that freshman. It's like, should I shoot it? Should I not? Should I pass it? If he's open, he's shooting it.
Oh, I love that. I call it floor presence.
And, and to be honest, if he's not open, he still might shoot it.
Well, what do they say? Danny, shoot or shoot, right?
Yeah. Yep. But we have another transfer to Colby Vasquez. He's from California. He has been very impressive, and he will be a really good player for us.
Okay, I missed him on the roster.
He just fits us. He fits us, like, not only like basketball wise, he plays off 2 feet just super, super well. You know, really fits our offense. And again, we recruit a lot, like 95% regionally, and California is not a prime area for us. But when we watch his film, we're like, man, just basketball wise, he really fits us, just how he plays. But then when we got him, it's like, man, not only does he fit us basketball wise, but you know, he's kind of the jokester on the team, and
wow,
you know, the guy always smiling, and he's just such a great culture guy for us too. So he'll be an awesome player for us this year.
And just so everybody knows, in full disclosure, when Danny Neville came out to watch Axemaker play out here in the West Coast, he was afraid to go to the gym by himself. So he called and begged me to meet him. And
there you go.
We had a lot of fun though. That was a great night.
That was.
I'm glad to hear he's doing well. You know, you're going to kick off an early. You got a couple of exhibition games, and then you're going to kick off in early November. You know, I was talking to Mark Svegera about this. You as well are going to start off with a couple of North Star schools presentation in Valley City, and you know they're laying for you.
Oh, for sure. I just think it's cool because, I mean, obviously, like, you know, scheduling-wise, it just makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, our closest conference game is 4 hours. So, you know, it makes sense non-conference-wise. You know, we play Valley City twice. Well, we get a home game, and we go 40 miles down the road.
Exactly.
You know, we play Presentation twice. Well, we go 100 miles south, and they come here. We play Dickinson. It's three. So most of our non-conference games are actually a lot closer than our conference games. And the other thing about that is they're old conference opponents.
Exactly.
So there's still some rivalry in there. You're not playing a team that, you know, you don't know much about. So I think that's really cool. You know, obviously the North Star, like, you know, when you talk about national tournament wise, they're not, you know, you don't see a lot of teams or a lot of programs, but it just makes sense for us to keep those games for, you know, not only tradition, but also for our for our traveling budget.
Yeah, no, I completely, and I left out Dickinson. You're actually going to start at home with Dickinson. And then, you know, Presentation has a new coach this year.
Yeah, so they're going to have. Who knows what they'll be.
They'll have a different look. And then, you know, later in November, it's around Thanksgiving, you go down to the show, which is a great honor for your program. And you're going to take on West Virginia Tech, who has a new coach again this year as well. And then William Jessup. William Jessup's more than likely going to be in the top five at that point. That's going to be a big weekend for your program.
Yeah, we see it. I mean, we wanted a trip. We had a California trip last year, and I thought the trip was really beneficial for us, just, you know, like team bonding wise, and obviously going out to California was really cool for us. So we wanted to go on a trip, but we also wanted, you know, we wanted some really, really good competition. And then obviously joining the show, you know, you look at the two teams you're playing and it's like, well, there's your good competition. And it was funny story. So, I was talking to the William Jessup coach, and, you know, he's, you know, a good coach, and they have a good team. And we obviously watched them in Kansas City. And, you know, I text him and I told him, we're only coming to the show if we play you. And then he sent me a text and he's like, you know, we're only coming to the show if we play you. So we're both going down there to play each other. And, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great opportunity for our guys. And, you know, one thing about playing William Jessup is we don't get to see a lot of those kind of teams.
Yeah.
So I think it's very, very beneficial for us to see a top five. And, I mean, who knows? They might be the number one team.
They,
who knows
they might.
With those guys?
They're loaded.
And it's like,
they're loaded, Danny.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, you know, it's really cool to just – we want to see a team like that before – maybe we go to regionals or before maybe we go to Kansas City.
Exactly.
To have seen a team like that already now coming to a national tournament scene, like, you're more confident playing those.
Yeah, I'm going to see William Jessup on October 28th. I'm going down to
I expect a full scouting report on him.
At my usual fee. But I'm really looking forward. Yep. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I had some medical issues.
For sure.
I told the doctors, I said, whatever you do to me, I got to travel on October 28th. I mean,
yeah.
They said, well, the world doesn't revolve around basketball. I said, well, obviously, you're flawed. You have a flawed view of the world if you don't believe the world revolves around basketball. But that'll be my first big trip, and I'm really looking forward to it. You know, Danny, I really appreciate you taking the time. It sounds like... you know, you've had a couple of guys graduate and move on. It sounds like you kind of refilled the cupboard.
Yep.
You know, now the proof's in the pudding. I mean, I know how competitive you are. How anxious are you for that first game?
Oh, yeah, it's fun. Like, I mean, you spend so much time. Like, we had 16 guys here this summer. And, you know, you spend so much time and you put in so much work. And then, you know, the preseason comes and you can't touch them on the floor until yesterday.
Yep.
So that's been like, you're just kind of sitting there waiting. I mean, conditioning on a turf field, I mean, that's not basketball, you know, that's
right.
I mean, that's a team event, but that's not why we do it. Like, we coaches love to coach just to get on the floor. And I mean, that's kind of their thing. And it's just been hard this preseason to not be around the guys. And so, yeah, I think that new rule though, like, I know a lot of coaches maybe are against it and everything, but I mean, I like it. Just, I don't know, if we didn't have guys here in the summer, I don't know how much I would like it, mm-hmm. but we have guys here. So it's a pretty good adjustment. And then, like, you know, you get that first month or so to just have them take some ownership, have them organize open gyms, have yeah. them do stuff. So it's kind of cool for them to have their own kind of ownership that first month, rather than having us, you know, being yeah. all over them all. Because again, like, you know this, some of our seasons don't end till the middle of March. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's September.
Exactly.
Like, you want to keep them fresh. You don't want to, you know, I don't know. That's just my opinion. But I feel really good about our team. And I think one big thing is you'll see this year is, I think, you know, Schultz and Birch, I'm not going to take anything against them. I love them. And they helped our program and they helped us to be where we're at. But, you know, this year we'll be able to move a little bit better. We'll be able to guard a little bit better. Our big guys are a little bit more agile. You know, we can yep. switch more stuff. So I think we'll be better. Just team wise, you know, those older guys that we mentioned before, you know, have more, you know, of a leadership role. That's one thing with Birch too. He was a great leader for 5 years. So imagine within those 5 years, people had to take the back seat to him.
Yep.
And so this is the first year where it gives an opportunity for other guys to be leaders. And I think that's just really, really going to help us.
Yeah. And you watch, I mean, Nat, somebody's going to step up and they'll probably surprise you.
Yep.
And you know, that's just the way it works. And it's somebody else's time. So
for sure, it feels like this is one of those years where it's like, I need to just get out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just need to let that, like, they're juniors, seniors, they're super mature. They've been, you know, in huge games. They've been in Kansas City. They've done a lot of things. So I think this year is like, you know, just, I need to get out of the way.
Well, it'll be fun, and I can't wait to talk to you after the season gets going. I'll let you know, I follow GPAC basketball fairly close, as close as I can. There are 200 and whatever teams. It's a ton, but we'll talk more during the season for sure. You know that.
For sure. Yep, and glad to see you're doing well too.
Yeah, thank you, Danny. That's Danny Neville. He's head coach there at Jamestown University, the Jimmies. And I want to remind everybody they had the third best GPA in all of NAIA basketball. Danny, congratulations on the success you've had. Good luck this season as the GPAC season starts.
I appreciate it. And again, can't say this enough, but appreciate everything you do for NAIA Hoops and appreciate everything you do for Jamestown as well. And it's been good to, you know, I remember the first time you interviewed me till now. It's kind of cool to have, you know, another friend and somebody that you meet just because of basketball. So appreciate our friendship. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate your friendship too. I'm getting old, you know, old guys start to lose friends. So I hang on to everyone I have. So no, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no one, I don't really have any friends, so it's nice to have one. No yeah, one really likes me, so.
If I was a smart aleck, I would say that ain't that hard to figure out, but.
That's all right. My guys love me. And my kids love me. That's all that matters. Okay. My wife, I'll get back to you on my yeah. wife.
You better. Okay. I'm going to do the merciful thing and cut Neville off at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Danny. Bye-bye.
Yep. Thanks. See
you. Hey, thank you very much to Danny Neville, Jamestown University, the Jimmies. As Danny alluded to, I've gotten to know him over the last few years, and I do value his friendship. He's a very nice guy, does a great job there at Jamestown. If you haven't looked at your team's schedule, take a look at it. Plan on getting out there, support these NAIA athletes. It's a lot of times it's a doubleheader, not at every school, but I tell you what, this is definitely the most affordable quality basketball you can find. In fact, you could probably even say NAI basketball is the best entertainment value in America.